In the last couple of weeks, we studied somewhat about the Lord's church. And 2 weeks ago, we had some lessons concerning the Old Testament prophecies that point to the church. A few years ago, we studied this series in a different outline concerning the Lord's church, the prophecy of it, the Old Testament prophecies and the New Testament examples and teaching where the prophecies of God concerning the church came to pass. And so, with everything that's happening in society today and around the world and the revolt against Christianity, the lack of faith with many people, we need to hold our faith strong. And we need to be those who are glad and thankful to be part of the body of Christ, the church. The Lord purchased the church with His blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It is a divine institution. It will last forever. And we know that while we're here on earth as a part of the body of Christ, when the Lord adds us to the church at our baptism, we know we are to participate faithfully as a member of the body of Christ in our individual lives on a daily basis, wherever it may be. And when we come together as a group, as a local church, local entity, we need to come together with the same mind, the same attitude, that we would love one another, that we would love the truth, we would love the church, and therefore we could do the work that God wants us to do and be pleasing to Him in the community where we live. So the church is very important. And although the church is under pressure and Christians are under pressure, and as we talked about some of the numbers that reflect over the last 20 years, since 1997, the decline is so great in people who have either given up the faith or they have turned to something other than Christianity. And so in the last 3 years since the pandemic, there's been another departure from the faith by some who will no longer get out, who will no longer get in a group of people. And so these are things that our faith needs to hold firm in, that we would continue to serve God faithfully as Christians, as individuals, and as the church, because we are the part of the church. The church is made up of baptized believers in Christ. And so in those two lessons we had Sundays a week ago, we talked about the Old Testament prophecies, and we talked about the fact that the church is part of God's eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, told them that the church was the eternal purpose of God. So God in His mind knew there would need to be a Savior for the sins of men. He would send His Son in due time to give His life for our sins. And in the shedding of that blood allows us to have forgiveness of our sins, and we by faith obey Him. And so in that, we are added to the church that He purchased with His blood. He purchased us from our sins. And so in purchasing us from our sins, when we obey the commands of God, by faith, the Lord adds us to the church, the eternal purpose of God. So then we see the church was purchased by the blood of Christ. And so the Old Testament prophesied about the church. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, about 700 B.C., along in there, we see that he prophesied concerning the church and the kingdom, that it was coming, that it would come to pass. He talked about the time of establishment, which would be in the last days. He talked about the place of the establishment of the church, which would be in Zion or in Jerusalem. He talked about the extent of the blessings that would be found in the church. All nations, he said, would flow unto it for many people. Not only did Isaiah talk about and prophesy about the church, but in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we see that Micah talked about in a parallel passage to Isaiah. He talked about the very same thing. About 600 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, we see that Daniel also prophesied. And he talked about that God changes the times and the season. He removes kings. He sets up kingdoms and He removes kingdoms. He sets up kings and He removes kings. And God is showing Nebuchadnezzar through the dream that Daniel interpreted then, that what will be coming in the latter days is a kingdom that will crush all the other kingdoms, and a kingdom that will not be like any of those kingdoms, but it will be an eternal kingdom. And so he's talking about the kingdom, the church. Not only that, but Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream, and we talked about it Sundays a week ago, how he interpreted the different images and shown how that the kingdom of God, the eternal purpose of God, the church, when it was to be established, would be eternal kingdom, a lasting kingdom that would never be overcome by any other kingdom. And we know the kingdom then is going to be ushered up to God when Christ comes to save his own. So the church is a very important subject. We see not only that, but not only did Daniel talk about it, but we see that also Joel, in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, he talked about the church and the kingdom. We read these Old Testament prophecies about the kingdom. We find their fulfillment then in the New Testament. So this morning, let's go to the New Testament and begin to look at some of the things that shows that the Old Testament prophecies that were made hundreds of years before about the church and the kingdom, the church and the kingdom being the same, and about the Messiah coming, all those things were fulfilled in the New Testament. So we go into the New Testament then, and there's still prophecy being made of a future kingdom. So the Old Testament prophesied it for men for hundreds of years, inspired men. Then we get into the New Testament, and there are men still talking about the kingdom, the church, the Messiah is in the future. We're studying the Gospels in Adam's class, and we'll be in it in the next hour having a good study about that. And he's covering a lot of those things, and we'll cover it in detail. And I'm not going to go into detail, he will, because he has a class time. But think about the church then, it's the eternal purpose of God. And God gives us all the information that's needed so we can understand about the church, about salvation that's found in Christ, and that we're the saved or put her in the church. And so we need to continue to study and apply the scriptures so that we may properly apply the things we learn about the church, about salvation, and about the Messiah, so that we in turn may be able to teach others. And we pointed out Sundays a week ago again that it is important that we teach others about the church, about the salvation, about the gospel, because right now, especially of the decline that's been over the last 20 years and especially the last 3 years of people departing from the faith. So when you look at the Bible written by 40 different inspired men over 1,600 years, and it's complete and perfect and thorough, and there's not anything that disagrees with itself from Genesis 1 to the Revelations 22, that book is powerful because it's the Word of God. And if people would just believe that, they could understand what the church is, who the church belongs to, and who is in the church. And the importance then of being saved by the blood of Christ, and let the Lord add us to the church so that we can serve Him and go home to heaven. So people need to hear that message about the church. Let's look now this morning. We've got about 20 minutes left. Let's begin to look at the New Testament scriptures that point to the establishment of the church. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now remember, the church and the kingdom are the same, and we will show in these lessons concerning the church that they are one and the same. They are the same. The church and the kingdom are the same as referred to in the Old Testament and the New Testament. For this is the one referring to by the prophet Isaiah, the prophet saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So we talked about Isaiah prophesying. Now here comes in Matthew chapter 3, who is it? John the Baptist, talking about this kingdom that Isaiah also talked about. So John preached about the kingdom is at hand. So we know it's closer. It's closer than it was in 700 B.C. thereabout when Isaiah prophesied about it. It's getting near. John said it is at hand. And then we see then in later in Matthew chapter 14, if you turn over there, we look at verses 1 through 12, and I'm not going to read these 12 verses. Alan has covered some of these in the Bible study class already and done a good job on it. But later, John was in prison, and he was beheaded because of his stand for the truth and his the stand he took for what was right concerning marriage and other things. But in Matthew 14, 1 through 12, the kingdom was not yet set up during the ministry of John. The kingdom was at hand, but was yet in the future. So we see the New Testament is prophesying the same kingdom that Isaiah talked about. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, We see that Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's turn over there, please, to Mark chapter 1, and let's look at that. Now, remember what John the Baptist had said just a few verses ago that we read there in Matthew. He said he came preaching in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. It means it's nearby. And so here is Jesus now coming behind John, because John was the forerunner, telling the Jews they needed to prepare themselves for Christ, who John himself was not able to even bend over and lace up his shoes for the Savior, because there's one coming after me, he says, that is greater than I, who will establish his kingdom. And so in Mark 1, 14 and 15, Jesus preached that what? This kingdom is at hand. Let's look at these verses. And after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Isaiah prophesied, Joel prophesied, Micah prophesied, Daniel had the interpretation of a future kingdom. And here we are hundreds of years later in the New Testament, John saying, now this kingdom is what is at hand. And then Jesus, just a short time after John said that, said the kingdom is at hand. So the church and the kingdom is getting close here in about 2000 AD. In the beginning of the Christian age of where we live now, almost 2,000 years ago. So Jesus taught his disciples then in Matthew chapter 6, if you look back to that prayer, we talk about it sometimes, and Jesus prayed, and he taught them to pray. And he said, pray like this. He said, that the kingdom of God may come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So Jesus was still praying for what? The kingdom of God to come. So Jesus was praying for the kingdom to come. He said the kingdom is at hand. And he sent his apostles out to preach to everyone in the area, saying the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. So you look at the lineup of the scriptures, and everything falls into place perfectly. There's no flaws. There's no reason to doubt it. And you can take it apart and you look at it and you can read it any way you want to, but it is a follow-up that lines up exactly to what God's plan was, his predetermined eternal purpose for what? The kingdom, the church, the salvation of men. Isaiah said it's coming. Micah said it's coming. Joel said it's coming. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar that the dream meant that it's coming. And then John the Baptist said it is at hand. Jesus said it's at hand. He said, now go preach, you 70. Go preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the problem that many people have, the reason they do not understand about the church and about Christianity and about the plan of God through the church and the kingdom, is that they have not studied the Bible, or they have not been taught the Bible. And some of them who have been taught, they'll turn away and they don't believe it because they have others who influence them and say, don't believe that book. And so they're led astray by their own ideas, their own whims, their own desires, or by others, false teachers, who lead them away from the truth and make them think that something else is correct. But we're reading the scriptures this morning. We're reading the facts that God laid out in place for all that we can understand about the kingdom and when the kingdom was established. Well, now we get to the 70. I mentioned the 70 earlier, but it was the apostles. He told them in Matthew 10 and verse 7, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he sent the 70 to preach that the kingdom of God has come near. Let's go over there and look at that verse. In Luke chapter 10 and verses 10 and 11. If we were to take time to read all these verses in sequence, this would be a long series of lessons concerning the church. And so we're not going to read them all, but we have reference to many of them. But in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 10 and reading verse 11, he says, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go and into the streets and say, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. You be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has what? Has come near. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand, John said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. Jesus said, go and preach, repent, and prepare yourselves, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So the church, there. In the beginning of the dispensation of time, the Mosaic or dispensation of time is ending. The Christian dispensation of time is beginning. And so everything that was prophesied on the Old Testament dispensation of time, the Mosaical time, is now being prophesied in the life of Christ and the life of John the Baptist to back up what was prophesied in the Old Testament. And they're all still pointing to the kingdom. So Matthew chapter 16, Matthew Livingston read these verses last week in the Bible reading. But in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, Jesus promised to build what? The church. He said, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, concerning the promise, upon this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 16, verse 18, he told Peter, upon this promise I'll build the church. But Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And Jesus certainly says, you know, well, I am the Christ, and the church is going to be built. And I'm going to be the chief cornerstone of it. I'm going to be the head of it. I'm going to purse it with my blood. So the Son of the living God, Peter preached Jesus is the Son of the living God. So he is the head of the church, the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the corner of the pillar for the church, the foundation on which it rests. So in his discussion with Peter, the church had not been established yet, but it's about to be established. It's getting close. So the church is the kingdom. I'll build my church, and I'll give unto you what? The keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. One and the same. The church and the kingdom. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And then we go and we see then in Matthew 16 and verse 28. And also we can go over to Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. And look at that verse. And we can see certainly that the kingdom, the church, was to come when? Was to come in the lifetime of some of his disciples. So you're looking at a period of hundreds of years of prophecies in the Old Testament, and now we get in the New Testament, and John says it's at hand. Jesus said that it's come near. It's at hand. Go preach the kingdom of heaven is near. And now we see that it's going to come when? In the life of some of those that were standing there that day with him. So the kingdom is getting close. All the prophecies in the Old Testament are just about to be fulfilled concerning the coming kingdom, the church, which is the same, the body of Christ, the church that he purchased with his blood. But it couldn't be established, it couldn't come into being until Christ shed his blood, because he purchased the church and the kingdom with his blood. He provided the way by shedding his blood, giving his life on the cross, that we could have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. And when we receive that, we become what? A part of that kingdom. Not voted in by men. Not decided who's going in by men. But the Lord himself adds those that what? That are being saved to the church. And who were being saved? Those that heard the good news about Christ, the plan of salvation, who heard the word of God and received it in their hearts, repented of their sins, confessed Christ, were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. They that gladly received that were baptized, and the Lord did what? He added those that were being saved. Who was being saved? Those that heard, believed, repented, confessed, and being baptized. He added those to what? The church. So we see now the church of the kingdom was to come in the lifetime of some of the apostles. The church of the kingdom is made up then of the same individuals, Christians. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 talks about that we've been purchased by the blood of the Lord, the blood of Christ. He purchased us with his own blood. So every blood-bought person then is what? Is a member of the Christ, the Church of Christ, and is a citizen of the kingdom. We go over to Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And again, a couple of years ago, we studied Revelation. Alan did a great job teaching that class. But Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, let's look at these verses concerning this kingdom, the church of which we are members of. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now the kingdom that Isaiah and Micah and Joel and Daniel talked about, and the kingdom that John was talking about, The kingdom that Jesus was talking about was purchased by what? By the blood of Christ. And here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, again, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou hast was slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. What did the Old Testament prophets say? That all nations would flow unto it. That all people would be able to have access to God through that. And then John preached that. Jesus preached that. In verse 10 of Revelation chapter 5, he says, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And so Jesus died on the cross to do what? Purchase us from our sins, and then he adds us to the church, the kingdom. So we go back now to Mark 16, 18, Mark 91. I say unto thee, if thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. So when we're blood bought, we become a citizen of the kingdom of the church. So when Jesus said the kingdom would come, he was speaking of the church. They are one and the same. And so when we think about the church and all that entails within the scriptures concerning the prophecy of the church, it's important that we relate that to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, to our friends, to others that we come in contact with, because without Christ and his blood, we'd have no hope. Without Christ and his blood, there'd be no kingdom. Without Christ and the shedding of his blood on the cross, there'd be no salvation for man. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and let's look at a few of these verses. As the Apostle Paul met the Ephesian elders, and he was discussing the congregation at Ephesus, and he was encouraging these men who were overseers of the church there. He was overseeing, he was teaching them as overseers that they had a responsibility to protect the flock, to shepherd the flock that is among you. So there was a congregation at Ephesus that had elders. These people were baptized believers in Christ. This congregation at Ephesus was the kingdom of God, just like the church at Beulah is the kingdom of God, and the church at 4th Street is the kingdom of God. And the church then is those who are saved, and those who are saved and in the kingdom, wherever they live in a locality, they're to come together in a multiplicity of two or more people gather in the Lord's name to worship God, to function as a body of Christ, to function as the kingdom today. And so we see that Christ is pointing then that the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is going to be here, and it's going to be established. And in Acts chapter 2, it was established. And that's something we're going to look at in our next lesson, the Lord's willing, after our class period. We'll come back right here where we ended, and we'll begin there, and we'll finish up the rest of the prophecies, the rest of the things that were said, up to the Lord's betrayal, the night before, and when he prayed in the garden, and what he prayed for, and what he told his apostles there, I'll drink of the fruit of the vine, I'll break the bread with you and you again in the kingdom. The kingdom's still future. And then we're going to see that once he died on the cross, that he promised he'd send the comforter to the apostles, and the church will be established. And so the kingdom of the church then was established in AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. So we see the Old Testament pointing to it, the New Testament pointing to it, and we can look back to it and pinpoint exactly when it was, and we can see it today, here and now, with us, baptized believers in Christ, who are in that kingdom, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he's coming to get when time on earth ends. So this is where we're going to stop with our study this morning. Give us time to have a break before our classes. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Christ, and that's your desire, and we can assist you with that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that and repent of your sins, then we'll baptize you into Christ, and you can leave this building a child of God, be in the kingdom, in the church, and be saved by the blood of Christ. If you're here this morning and you are in the kingdom, you are a Christian perhaps that has wandered away and you haven't been faithful and you need the prayers of the brethren, the Bible teaches that we need to pray for one another, and you need to pray for yourself, and we'll pray for one another, and he will forgive us of our sins. He's faithful and just to do that. So if you need to respond, please do so while W.A. leads us in the invitation song.